It's me, Peter Parker, your friendly neighborhood, you know. I've come a long way from being the boy who was bit by a spider. Back then, nothing seemed to go right for me. Now?
Oh, look, it's Spider-Man!
Super cool!
Wow!
People really like me.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 455, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me today, Brian, y'all turn that guy from wings into sand, Jordan, Dunaway.
Jordan. I'm Sand Jordan. Oh, hi. Meanwhile, down at the Hall of Manservants, Jarvis, Alfred Pennyworth, and Bernard Houseman gather to discuss the events of the day. If I may, says, I've seen things in the House of Osborne I've never spoken of. I didn't know what voices are going to go with. I'm going with this one, though. Right. The night Harry Osborne kissed the Mary Jane girl and made omelets, I cleaned his eggy mess. Eggs were on the floor. They were on the ceiling. They were in the carpet. I'd spent an hour picking little tiny egg balls from his sweater. But I guess I still love Harry. I loved his father, too, but mostly I love that Mary Jane girl. Am I right? Up top, Alfred. No? All right. Anywho... That Parker kid shows up last night, probably pissed that Harry kissed Mary or whatever those Elmo kids are so upset about these days. Oh, look at my rebellious, unkempt hair and dark booty clothes and strange dance moves. Okay, Elmo, get a job. Am I right? You know what I'm talking about, Jarvis. High five. Oh, no. Sorry, Jarvis. I didn't mean to knock your coffee off the table. No, I'm not cleaning it up. You clean it up. I do that crap all day. I come here to relax and get away from that whole manservant scene. Well, I guess we'll just sit here for infinity then, won't we? No, Alfred, sit down. Let's see how long Jarvis can stand to let that coffee soak into the carpet. For God's sakes, man, it's going to stain! That's it, I'm out of here.
I love that you focused on that dude. What'd you call him? Yeah. Man's or house man? House man.
His name is Bernard, but stupid man kept calling him Bernard. And his last name is Houseman. Bernard.
Not Bernard Houseman. And I'm telling you, this is why you always have a backup greeting or Twitter.
Oh, post. No.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really? No. Amazing. Did I ever tell you about the time I was Bernard Houseman?
True story.
Oh, my
Lord.
Simple
rules for being James Franco's houseman.
Very nice. Well, let's find out how this goes. We have Randy. I think I got a little sand in my tuna fish, Jordan.
Oh, man. Aloha, Scott, Brian.
Hi. Randy.
Did I ever tell you boys about the time I ran a highly successful police advisory agency? Mm. True story. Police need advising, and you too can become part of this successful industry so long as you focus on my patented three key procedures. Number one, when you're looking for the criminal what done escaped, don't stake out his only child's home too closely. Come on now. That's just good sense. Number two, when you're chasing your fugitive on foot and he falls into a pit right in front of you, don't follow him any further for several minutes. That's the perfect time for your cops to take a smoke break right in the middle of the chase. Number three, whatever you do, don't attempt to set up any sort of direct communications with your city's superheroes, especially any superheroes that's saving you $100 million a year in policing costs. But, you know, living in a hovel because no one ever pays him any money. He's poor for a reason. Just don't think about that too much.
Man, he was poor.
Poetic end there.
Where'd he get those pants from? And that shirt?
Yeah,
we saw where he got it from, but where'd he get it from?
Yeah, where did he really get it from? Finally with us, Brian, he likes hanging out in the hallway with Ursula Ibbett.
That's right. We're about to find out. Yeah. Ah, hello, and welcome to Manhattan's finest men's clothier, Suits by Ditko. What brings you in today? Oh, hey, I recognize you. You're Peter Parker. Yeah, I've seen your photo in the Daily Bugle. What can I do for you? Why are you dancing? We don't have any music playing in the store. Are you just going to keep dancing? Oh, okay. All right, good. So what brings you in today? Wait, don't tell me. You want to upgrade your look from this nerdy schoolboy outfit to something a little more fire festival? Great. I can tell by the way your hair is poorly flipped down that you're more emo now. Okay, cool. And still dancing, I see. Okay. All right, try this on. Yes, all black, which I guess is the thing now that Spider-Man is wearing it too. Kind of hard to help you try these things on while you're dancing. Okay. All right. Okay. Looks good. You're also going to need a sport jacket. This one is perfect for throwing at your ex-girlfriend. Okay. In that outfit, 50% of the women will find women of New York will find you repulsive, but the other 50% will find you strangely irresistible. Will this be cash or charge? Discover card? Oh, what a douche.
Right. Peter Parker uses Discover. That's a good. I like that. Hey, everyone.
So bummed we didn't get a trying on clothes montage.
I know, right?
Right.
That would have been just about would perfect.
Would have fit the rest of this crap.
I agree. So we did Spider-Man 2. We did not do Dracula 3000, just for anyone else who's sort of like,
we did Spider-Man
wait.
3.
What'd I say? 2? I meant 3.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was worried for a second there. My intro probably made no sense.
I don't know. Bernard may have been in that movie. I don't remember.
Bernard.
So just a little thing at the top of the show. Sometimes we veto movies because our choices are bad and we are shown that. And then we go, ooh, this is a bad idea. We're not doing this one. And we veto it. And the veto power was enacted. We didn't do Dracula 3000. Instead, we did Spider-Man 3, which was next on our list. And we said it out loud like a week ago on Twitter. And so follow us at FilmSack. That's a great way to find out if you're, if you need to make a change in your watching habit.
Make alternate plans.
Yes.
Yes.
It's just a good idea.
And this one was on me. I based a FilmSack movie purely on the fact that it was a horror meets sci-fi romp with Casper Van Dien, Erica Eleniak, Coolio, and Tiny Lister. I mean, really, what
it
could
had
go wrong?
A right. Great description. I was really all did. On board. We all were in agreement.
We were all on board. Like, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. We were all on board and until some of the fans started going, dude, you guys don't know what you're getting into. This is bad. This is like really, really like worse than bad, like just a piece of crap that's not worth even acknowledging.
Right.
And so I watched the first 15 minutes to sort of take the tip of the bullet.
Just the tip.
And boy, howdy, were they right. They were, the wisdom of the crowd was correct here. And so we were, we changed course because none of us had seen this. We didn't know. Right.
No. And yeah. I apologize to those who did watch it beforehand, but I am going to watch it sometime this weekend. So
I was wondering if you've watched it or not.
I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to definitely watch it this weekend. And I am going to get on the Discord channel, our FilmSack Discord channel. And I am going Frog Pants.
It's a film set group. It's cool.
Yeah. Right. So I mean,
I'll join you in that. I enjoy figuring out what is the category of films that are so bad, but somehow not of interest. You know what I mean? Like Troll 2 or The Room is so bad, hard to watch, but there's something interesting about watching it. And then this film somehow doesn't fall into that category. It's just other category of heart bad and boring or something.
Yeah.
And like I want to dig into that.
FilmSack has a
poorly made.
Yeah. FilmSack has a certain thing. It's hard to define. And when we know it's not there, we choose to cut its head off.
I can define it.
Define
Superman,
it.
Spider-Man 3.
There you go.
Spider-Man 3. Defined.
Oh. Defined. No, this is Spider-Man 3 turns out the movie is kind of perfect. And by the way, we should probably settle this right up front. I had a whole bunch of people last night say, while I was watching this, what's worse, Spider-Man 3 or The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which was the second, what's his name?
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, the Garfield deal.
All right.
I have a hard time deciding because they're both pretty
bad. Before we go any farther, I have never seen an Andrew Garfield anything.
Oh, really? You haven't seen any of
Someone posted a picture of Tobey Maguire and Tom Holland and some other guy. Yeah. I was like, who's this other guy? I have this blind spot that I completely skipped over. And like, we're going to talk about how, you know, Spider-Man is a thing. And like, now that we've all seen really awesome Spider-Man movies the last few years, mm-hmm. like it's a different story now watching this original trilogy, mm-hmm. but I have no idea what's in the middle. I got nothing.
It's, you know what? I think they're worth seeing. And I actually kind of, I think both of the Andrew Garfield movies are better than Spider-Man.
I think that Andrew Garfield's story nothing better Peter Parker. That to me is some of the best Peter Parker friendship angle in any of the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But we're all in agreement that Tom Holland just destroyed our. Absolutely. Everyone else sucks at this.
You know, I don't necessarily say that Tom. It's hard to say. You have those three actors, and it's almost like Neapolitan ice cream. Each one of them, I favor strawberry, but I'm going to eat the vanilla and the chocolate.
No, I get you. But here's what I do.
By the way, none of us are going to argue that Tobey Maguire is not the vanilla.
Right. Who is it? Which one's the vanilla? So, right. And so I like all three flavors, but I certainly understand when somebody goes, "No, I'm not."
No,
eating
this is what this is. I'm like Homer Simpson. I go into the freezer. I get out the thing. I look at the Neapolitan ice cream. I realize I've eaten all of the chocolate, and I yell, "Marge, we're out of Neapolitan ice cream."
Yeah, I do like that.
Because I like Andrew Garfield as an actor. Right, really do like quite a bit. Yeah. I just think those movies are kind of hard to watch. I think I'm with Ibbot though. This is a very misguided, messy, expensive
and
mess.
Paul Giamatti's Rhino out of the picture of the second film, which he was, you know, he's barely in it, but it's kind of like, oh, we're setting up a potential third film.
Right.
If you take
fifth and sixth.
Mm-hmm. No, I meant of the Andrew Garfields.
Oh, Andrew Garfield. Yeah.
They were thinking of a third one with Rhino, I think is the, I think Lizard is a very compelling, we almost got Lizard in this one. Mm-hmm. We got the kind of almost the origin story of Lizard in this one, but in the Andrew Garfield one, we get True Lizard, and I think it was a great addition.
We get True Lizard. Look at it.
And like I said, I think if you take the Paul Giamatti stuff out of Amazing Spider-Man 2, it's a much, much better film.
Remind me, was that the one with Electro Dude?
First of the two was the one with Jamie Foxx as Electro.
That was the first one. I have that all mixed up in my head.
I'm hearing us claim our favorite Peter Parker, and I just got to say, Jake Johnson as the voice of Peter Parker in Into the Spider-Verse is so great that I want to go back in time and see if he could actually physically act this part in place of Tobey Maguire. Like, Jake Johnson has such a perfect take on how Peter Parker's
sounds. Oh, yeah, you make Jake Johnson, you put him somewhere between 18 and 23, and he's a pretty good Peter Parker.
And correction before we start getting emails. Lizard was in the first Amazing Spider-Man. Jamie Foxx's Electro is in the second Amazing Spider-Man.
Okay, that's what I remembered. Right. And I remember really being sad about the second one. And part of my sadness was the Jamie Foxx thing, I think. But now, I've conflated those two movies together pretty much. I don't really know when starts.
Do you remember who was Aunt May in the Andrew Garfield?
Yes. So that was, hold on. Martin Sheen was Uncle Ben. I almost said Uncle Owen. You gotta get out to the moisture farmer and get me some moisture.
Your mom's name is Martha too.
Hold on, it was him and this is a good trivia question.
I know, right? And I can see her face, but can't think of her name for some reason.
I can't either.
You like her? You really like her?
Oh, it's Sally Field. God. Sally Field.
Yes,
that's right. They had, cast wise, they kind of went places, right? Those movies. They did. Spent some money. Yeah. But they,
I haven't seen a modern Spider-Man telling animated or live action like this that I haven't enjoyed. When I say modern, I classify this particular one starting that before then. Last thing we had was like stuff from, I guess, from the 70s, you know, like those.
Well, I enjoyed the cartoons,
but the live action stuff.
Lots of cartoons. There was a live action series with Nicholas Hammond where, boy, it was just bad.
It was really bad.
Then there was Morgan Freeman, you know, he did his little stint on the, you know.
You remember that Japanese thing we saw? Wasn't that amazing? That one episode we saw of, didn't we do that here?
Yes. Supiderman.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I want to see more of those.
Supiderman.
Those were.
No one's going to argue with me on the Morgan Freeman Spider-Man? All right.
Okay. Wait, there was a Morgan Freeman Spider-Man? Oh, no. Your point. Oh, the electric company, right. what was great about that is when he would cast his cast his web, it was like a big ugly graphic.
Yes.
And it was then, just a, what? And then it would turn into
a big net.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it would turn into rope. Yeah, it would turn into a big ropey net. That was nothing like, you know, webbing. It was stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like Venom's webbing in this movie.
This
here,
okay? Spider-Man can 3. I just say a thing about Venom? Number one, the first thing I want to get off my chest here: this movie suffers.
Symbiote, right?
This movie suffers from a thing that a lot of superhero movies suffer from, and maybe less so now because I don't know, Marvel's better at it, but too many villains, just too many, and you can't give them enough time. So when you've got Sandman and you got freaking Venom, a terrible version of Venom, by the way, just a shitty, too skinny, it's just a bad Venom.
Cool, right.
And you got Harry Osborn doing his right. Goblin Jr. business.
He's brooding, yes.
It's just too much. It's too many threads to try to keep together. And I hate this kind of generally. Dark Knight, you could argue, did an okay job, but even then I felt like Harvey Dent got short shrift in that movie. Because really the focus was on the Joker, and it should have been. But I hate that this, normally. Too many villains.
I normally do too, but I think in this Spider-Man 3, I think I remember thinking too many villains, but as I watched it this last time, I was like, you know what? The Sandman is such a two-dimensional character here. I mean, we pretty much know his story within a few minutes. And so it's almost like just an extension of Spider-Man's own story. He's not really a standalone character as much as he's like
brute force that they need at the final finale.
So yeah. He didn't even count to me. So I really only think there's like two true villains in this, and one of them flips and is part of, you know, Peter Parker's friendship as well.
And is the easiest flip ever.
Yeah.
You know, we've had villains where they've turned around after like a lot of soul searching or whatever, but apparently Houseman is not just a great butler, but he's also a forensic specialist who can identify wounds and say, "Oh, it came from your dad's own glider. So it couldn't have been Spider-Man that killed him." What?
Yeah.
That's the reason why I stopped everything.
Kill him with his own glider?
When he went into that story, I had to stop the whole movie. And I said, okay, this is going to play into my intro. I'm not sure how yet, but this is it.
And the only thing we get leading up to that is the previous scene where Harry wants food. And he's like, "Give me food." I don't
care. Harry, badly.
And old man is like, "Let's have a talk." No. Food. Like this doesn't build a relationship or a character that I'm going to trust at all. You know? So when I'm called on to trust him, I'm just like, come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
Movie.
All of that stuff. Yeah. Movie. You damn movie. I have this love hate relationship with this film because it was the inaugural, Nerdtacular film. Like it's the one we did in 2007. Yeah. It was the first one we really opened up to everybody. It was a kind of a big deal in my personal history, but at the time I remember being so bummed out at the end that was the movie and that ended up being so disappointing. And it also set the stage for when it was all movie based Nerdtaculars in those first few years. It set this new standard of I'm kind of gambling here. Like I don't really know. The next year we got Dark Knight and we nailed it. It was like, whoa,
nailed
that
it.
Was perfect. Like couldn't have asked for better.
But a bad Nerdtacular movie does not a bad Nerdtacular make.
Oh, no, never, you know? never. But it was always nice that you had a good, you know, if the movie happened to be good. Sure. And I think we did okay with Star Trek the next year. The year after that was a bummer because it was Iron Man 2, and that's kind of a piece of shit. And that was it. That's the last time we did it. So I have, you know, these mixed feelings about it. And watching it again, there are moments I don't remember that I kind of like. I actually think Sandman's origin and arc, and in particular, his conversion from guy from wings to made out of sand is this very elegant, sweet moment of like music combined with effects, combined with a spinning camera. There's something in there that's actually very cool, and I couldn't quite put my finger
Thomas
on
Hayden
it.
Thomas Hayden Church nails it. I mean,
great
casting. If you need a Sandman, he nailed it.
Yeah.
So could we, while we're on the subject of his origin story, were they just doing radioactive testing on a bunch of sand?
Right. Nighttime. Is that a trope? Nighttime science experiment in a hole.
Nuclear science in a hole.
Right outside of New York City.
Right
there. Just like a few that. Miles.
I love that.
Like, what's dividing?
In there? He'll fly out.
Yeah.
What's protecting New York City from an accident? No, this fence. A good fence. It's right. A good fence, guys.
It's a pretty good fence. Solid fence. Yeah,
this whole movie is full of convenience. I mean, everything is hand about. Yeah, it's all hand wavy. There's always convergence. There's great convergence of between all the characters. It feels very fate driven, mm-hmm. right? Like there's a larger hand at play,
for sure. So. And it goes across every part of the movie too.
Yeah.
But Peter Parker just happens to know, he happens to be sitting behind the girl in class who happens to be in a crane accident and almost die. And so on. Right. Like every little, like the fact that this thing falls from space a few feet away from him on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
It is way. I don't usually notice those things in movies unless they're just like hammering me. I mean, even with the bell, it's like, you know, he needs to get the symbiote suit off. And so he heads over to the bell, but not on purpose. He just happens to be going to the bell, happens to knock the bell. It starts shaking him. And Topher Grace, his nemesis, just happens to be in church.
Happens to be in the same church. Because Peter Parker told him to go find religion.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, oh my God, could y'all please stop? Is this a little too much?
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that go find religion line. I totally forgot.
And he found some.
Yeah. It's particularly sad to me because these films often have a sequence where any person who is given any kind of powers has to figure out how to use them and starts out bad. But no. Topher Grace, man, he just jumps into Venom. It's like all of Venom power is immediately available to him. And I was like, oh, we kind of skipped something here because everybody else, you know, like we have a great sequence in the first movie, the first Spider-Man movie of Spider-Man falling all the time, you know, like
Eddie Brock has an arc and they didn't do any of it. They just were like, oh, he's all gooped up now. Right. All right. Well, here you go. There's Venom.
But I mean, you could kind of forgive that because, all right, well, Venom knows what Venom needs to do. And
Venom knows what Venom needs to do. Venom care.
And it almost doesn't matter who's inside Venom. You know, Venom takes over. But
yeah, Venom just echoes. Venom is actually not even bad. He's just a symbiote. He takes on the personality traits and enhancements of what's going on.
But is that what he does? He amplifies. If you're a turd, he amplifies it.
Yeah, and so.
But see, this movie plays fast and loose with that. If that's the case, they treat it weird because Peter Parker becomes a dick when he's wearing the suit.
But he was already a dick. He was a clueless dick. He proved that by doing the big kiss with Gwen Stacy. He proved he's self-centered at this point in his life.
And it is the other hero arc that they, you know, they feel they discover their powers, they start saving the day, then they get a little too cocky and a little too full of themselves and they need to be taken down a peg.
Yeah.
And again,
we were celebrating Spider-Man at the very beginning of this movie so we could tear him down. Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not so much tear him down. It's like, I don't know what they did here. It's just too much.
He didn't get the girl this one time.
See, I actually think the Sandman arc, and according to the trivia, Sam Raimi had for a long time was absolutely opposed to letting Venom in on this film. It was supposed to be a venomless film.
It was venomless.
And they weren't going to have him in there. And he really pushed for it. And they pushed back, and they eventually made it happen. Somebody at Marvel was really pushy or something. Yeah. Anyway, had they focused on Sandman as kind of the big existential threat, I might have liked it better because every part of his stuff except for the forgiveness thing and the stupid retcon about who shot his uncle, that stuff sucks.
Yeah, I didn't. Especially, that's what they had to do. They had to retcon Sandman to make him, you know, have a better story because
they double retcon him, right? Yeah, they retcon him first to be the guy who angrily shoots Uncle Ben for no reason, and then they retcon the retcon into, oh, actually, no, he was, it was an accident, and he got bumped by spiky hair.
I'm glad you
did. I spill my coffee?
I'm glad you brought that up because that's cheating in a film.
That's cheating.
When you show the scene, this isn't just Peter Parker's image of the scene or what he thinks happened. You are showing a flashback to what supposedly happened, and then you change your flashback. Eat a dick.
No, I think it was a he said, she said moment, and I think it was kind of played. I mean, it wasn't played well, but it was a he said, she said moment because we were on Peter Parker's face. We popped into his head for a minute to try to reconstruct what was going on, all black and white, didn't quite understand it. Kind of, well, not really black and white, but more, you know, grayish tones and stuff. And then later on, we get the truth. So, I mean, it was kind of...
It was horrible.
Poor story. How about poor storytelling?
There are other examples of this that work, and I'm trying to think. I saw something recently that is better at this, and I couldn't tell you what it was, but there was something where they thought they had seen what they saw, and then later... The scene plays out differently with a slight, you know, it'd be a little bit like
majority of Usual Suspects is done this way, right? With
Kevin Spacey
right, recounting the story of what happened, and you watch the story, and then at the end you see what really happened,
right?
Right, and you have key figures turned away or in shadow or obscured somehow, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you get to when you actually see the truth, you get to see from the other angle. Mm-hmm, like that's just good art. Like, that's how you make these stories. Mm-hmm. But this movie, like, it's got so much to do, and it's edited hard down to a couple of hours. Oh, like, yeah. Man, there's the sequence where Spider-Man first sort of realizes that the Venom suit is a thing that he'd wear and use and so on. It's edited down so fast that I took my breath away. I was just like, we're missing out right here on a lot of really interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely got... chipped, but it also felt overlong. Apparently there were some last minute shoots, according to who said this was James Franco. They had to go back and do some reshoots just prior to release because the audience says the audience felt there was not enough action in the film. So more action.
Oddly enough, I thought there was too much action in the film, or at least I thought the actions scenes were too long
or just
or unnecessary. The fight between Harry and Peter in the house.
Yeah.
In Osborne's house, kind of unnecessary.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, there was a whole movie in the credits. Movies in the credits.
Whole two movies in the opening credits. Yes.
Yeah, that's true. But when he blew him up like that, they needed to establish that he really got scarred by this. But also, Harry's just too damn forgiving. Like, like after all that, after that total dick move of throwing a live grenade in your face.
Right.
He just had a concussion. I forgive him.
No, he's
you
got
know
like
what? I deserve that for thinking you killed my dad. You know what? We're square now.
We're square.
Up top.
Right. So that stuff was just too easy.
But and then, you know, if I could believe anybody could take a turn like that, I believe the actor James Franco could.
Oh my
he
God.
Makes me believe in turns.
Oh geez, I don't know about that.
The weird thing is, like, when you start unpacking stuff, like they were just fighting to the death. Spider-Man and Junior Goblin were just fighting to the death, and Harry lost, and he's laying dying in the street.
Mm-hmm.
If Spider-Man just leaves him there, totally everything's going to be just fine. He and Mary Jane are going to go to a funeral. You know what I mean? Like, everything's going to be great. Yep. But no, Spider-Man tries to save his life, and it's like, come on. You were just trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Just now.
Yeah.
A second ago. That's the thing I love about the relationships that Peter Parker has. They're soap operas. I mean, we got Amnesia right in the middle of our movie. What's more soap opera than that?
Yeah.
Put a trope alert all over that.
Oh, right? Yeah, we haven't played one in a while. Let's do it right now. There you go.
I actually liked the Andrew Garfield stories because of that relationship that they get to talk about, this love triangle that kind of exists that doesn't exist in all other.
They were stories. Good. You know what? I will give you an agreement on that. The relationship stuff and the Andrew Garfield stuff is pretty strong. I'd say it's still better in the Tom Holland stuff, but it's pretty strong. And the Tom Holland stuff is more about friendships and less about the Mary Jane stuff and all that. We don't even get Gwen Stacy.
I don't think we even get a Gwen Stacy in the Tom Holland stuff, but in the Spider-Man lore, he's
we get a tease of Gwen Stacy, don't we?
No, I don't think so. Do we?
He fawns over Gwen Stacy long before he even meets Mary Jane in the comics.
Right, but in the actual Tom Holland movies, she's just not referenced. I don't think.
I thought she was. I thought she was referenced in a scene.
They're going to kill her again with having her snap her neck and
that
is one of the most heartbreaking Spider-Man story, the comic stories of all time, and they kind of go to that a little bit with Spider-Man 2. Or Amazing Spider-Man
written by Film Sack listener Jerry Conway. Hi Jerry, right. He listens to the show every week, so he knows what's up.
There's a pile of foreshadowing in this movie, And you bringing up the amnesia trope reminded me of my favorite one, and also the biggest loss to the whole film, in my opinion. And that's when Harry has amnesia. He says to Peter and to Mary Jane that he would give his life for his friends. Mm-hmm. And it's like a really cool moment. And then at the end of the film, what does he do?
Literally.
He literally does that. Like, okay, you have the perfect story there, movie. Why not focus on that? You know, like, it's so, that could have been so nice. And you know, like, just a little more care given to that entire arc. And you've got the whole movie. You don't need Sandman or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you say that, but in the end, if I'm just looking back at the film, I think Sandman's my favorite part. And it doesn't mean it's great, because it isn't. But and some of it's super ham-fisted, and some of it's like a little throwaway, and also the very end thing was just ridiculous. But I know there's something I like about it. It's about the only thing.
I couldn't stop thinking about how Sandman only really has one goal, and that's to steal money. Yeah. I just kept imagining him going, Sandman, wake up, steal money today.
And, you know, like, and he steals money, there's never enough. What's wrong with this kid?
All he wanted to do. Yeah. And it never occurred to him that he has the ability of Sandman. So all he needs to do is make himself into an island with a nice island road into Manhattan, mm-hmm. and sell himself to somebody,
right?
And he can have insane amounts of money for free. Also, like, he doesn't have to do anything. He
has
doesn't
there ever
have
been so much convenient sand in New York?
Oh my gosh, the sand is so convenient, right? Just like, sand everywhere. Sand. I guess sand is. Right. I mean, by the end, he was like made of like cement chunks and all kinds.
And
of shit.
I liked his and tires. His morphing.
Yeah. The morphing stuff was great. Like the effects. You know, they're starting to age a little bit, but they still look pretty cool. I like the Sandman really stuff. Here's the thing. I don't know what trope this is called or if there's a name for it, but his little locket with his kid in it was magic, man, because that thing, first of all, when he was first made into sand, he couldn't pick it up, okay? So it was he put his hand through it and just rolled through it. He's like, oh, shit, well, I guess we're never going to have that again, and now he's pissed.
It's part of his training montage.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Then later, he gets flushed through the water system, the sewer system, and through that grate and turned into just nothing. And then he comes out on the other side, and it just happens to be hanging on his hand when he comes out. Mm-hmm. What the frick is going on with that locket, dude? Jeez.
Right, the locket in Aunt May's ring. I mean, it was representation. There was love and
the jewelry wins this movie.
Yeah, the jewelry could not be lost, no matter how hard we tried.
Yeah, I expect Tom Shane at the end to go, now you have a friend in the diamond business, and just blow our minds with your magic jewelry, because none of that stuff would work. You'd lose it all. That ring would have been gone the second he got punched.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's dumb. I hate that.
Tobey Maguire. So
speaking of the ring, does Bruce Campbell get a pass here?
Yeah, it's fine.
It's not his fault, right? Like, no. Like he's really good friends with Sam Raimi. Like, they grew up together, apparently.
Yeah.
You know, and like, so of course he's gonna go be in this huge movie when his friend asks him to play a bit role. And it's weird because you go into that expecting it to be over the top comedic. Like, right. When you first see him, it looks like John Cleese pretending to be French.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, no, as the moments go by, he's playing it pretty straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't.
And then he has to say it. I'm French.
Yeah.
It's like, he's like, oh, yeah, you're maybe not getting it. I'm French.
Uh-huh. I mean, they had to do it, right? Because he's Ash from all those other Raimi movies. Like, you can't.
Did you prefer this role or the Dorman role?
Definitely the Dorman role. Yeah, definitely.
I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. I like him a lot.
And I prefer him as the ring announcer in the first movie.
I was trying to remember what the third one was. Yeah, the first one.
I don't know.
Spider-Man, that's a dumb name or whatever. I guess he tells him Spider-Man, but what was the...
Oh, yeah, he had a different name, right?
What do you call him?
The human spider is what Peter Parker wants to be called.
Name. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, human that's spider. Horrible.
That's a dumb name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to give Bruce Campbell a pass because I think he did the best he could, and it's not a bad thing. It's just not what you expect at all. But I cannot take the freaking Stan Lee cameo in this movie. It's the worst Stan Lee cameo.
It's not my favorite either. I don't like it.
I don't understand it. It's like, did no one think at all about what they were doing?
I miss him so much. Didn't care. I was just glad to see him.
I mean, I was glad to see him too. And I don't, I wish the guy was around, but there have been way more creative uses of Stan Lee. Like,
absolutely.
Even in previous, even in the first two Spider-Man movies, like, they're better.
What else can we do with Spider-Man?
I was yelling at the screen. Stan Lee comes along and says, I guess one man can make a difference. And I'm like, if he has superpowers,
nuff said.
That's what you're saying?
Nuff said.
Yeah,
like,
nuff,
oh my
nuff,
God.
Nuff said, and then that's he left.
Not,
yeah.
Was that wise at all?
Isn't the nuff said thing, that was in the comics a lot.
Yeah, that was, yeah, right. That was he always editorial. Close out the bullpen bulletins with nuff said.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, look, it was more like Stanley. He just came there and stood for a second and then, and then went away. And that's fine. Again, it's like, you know, you're going to have him in there, but this was a pretty weak use case.
I hated Bryce Dallas Howard's Gwen Stacy. I love hated. I couldn't decide. It was 2007, and we were still doing more damsel in distress than we probably
let me tell you what she is in this movie. This is what she is.
Get up here and grab a bucket.
She is a chick in the bucket, because by the end of this thing, she's gone through all this stuff with everybody, and then... poof, done.
I'm waiting. She's not a chick in the bucket to me, because I wrote my own little after story. I'm assuming that the next time that Spider-Man, Peter Parker, has to go back to school, which, by the way, I guess he was on a long break, and when he has to go back and see his lab partner, things are going to be bad. I see her sitting there tapping her foot, waiting for her lab partner to come back.
Jazz club boy.
Right. See, I feel like the Tom Holland movies would have dealt with that better. They would have actually thought of that, and there would have been a post like film scene where they're in class and things are a little weird. Like, they would have figured out a way to deal with it. But she was at the funeral, so you got a tiny glimpse of her at Harry's funeral, but that's it. Like, forget it. She was like just wall dressing. It was dumb.
I noted her dad as Chick in the Bucket, because he's supposed to be the Commissioner Gordon of this movie. And it's like, at some point we see him and he's doing his job and that's it. We're done. We're never going to see him again.
Captain Stacy.
Right. Yeah.
So the idea, I suppose, that it was to inject into the, into the franchise that they were going to do a Gwen Stacy film, of course, never happened. Sam Raimi quit after this, I believe. He was like, yeah, I had enough. They did some stuff for a while, according to the trivia, but then it was just like, he had enough.
Yeah, and according to the trivia, this was originally supposed to be two movies, which kind of helps split up the overabundance of villains and crap editing that they had to do to take out important parts to make it fit.
Yeah, I wonder how that would have been. That might have been better. Although I mean, it's just a mistake to do the emo thing and all that. That was just a bad choice.
I disagree.
No, you agree. You just don't want to admit it.
I think the world is a, I wouldn't say better place, but the world is a place for having had it, I think.
ask Tobey Maguire if he feels
it's kind
like.
Of like it's kind of like if I asked you, it's kind of like if I asked you, hey, Scott, what do you think about having never had the idea that Nicolas Cage was going to be Superman? And I said, I'm going to take that away from you. And you can never have that.
But they never made it, though. So
I know, but what if the idea never existed and there was no photos?
I mean, you make a point. You make a good point.
Not as fun.
I agree with you on this. Okay, I'm actually going to turn my opinion around. I'm glad it happened the one time. If I'm looking at it as a contained experience, it's terrible. But from a macro sort of view, where I'm looking down on popular culture and going, man, I'm glad Tobey Maguire danced like an idiot for 5 minutes. You know what? Yes, you're right.
Yes,
you're right.
Gotta have it. My life is better for it.
Yeah, we gotta.
Repulsed. So obviously, it was repulsive to the women walking by him down the Manhattan street, right? Like,
yeah, it's very going, selective.
It's douche. But then, that doucheness gets him a table at the jazz club. Like, the woman's like super happy to do that for him. Betsy Brandt goes gaga over the new emo, creepy Peter Parker.
Yeah,
love to shoot you sometime.
That was just horrendous. Everything about all of that, and then the dance,
cringe,
when
super cringy,
and he ruins her singer thing by going up there and getting on the piano and jacking around on that thing. Like, f off, dude. You're a dick.
The best trivia about the jazz club scene is that it says they said it took almost 2 weeks to film, which. seeing the way Tobey Maguire dances, I don't doubt it one bit. It's like, all right, can you maybe not look so stiff?
Yeah. And to get 18 hours of footage to cut down to 3 seconds.
Right, exactly.
We haven't said anything about Kirsten Dunst, and I just want to praise her. Like, in these, all three of these movies, she has the hardest role. She does such a good job so little.
Yeah.
And she's just like, she's thrown from pillar to post in this these movies. This one in particular, she's supposed to be like a whole person who's going through things, and it's like she really doesn't get enough credit, because the way the movie's edited, you barely ever see her. She's in these really fast bits where, you know, she has to show emotion, and I just like, I can't believe we're not talking about her, but there's so much more wrong in this movie. Just like,
she's good. Yeah, like, there's nothing wrong with her. She's good. I like her.
Yeah, just like the fact that she enjoyed playing a vampire in Interview with a Vampire so much. She kept the fangs.
Yeah, she kept the fangs. Yeah, those are still there.
You know, I loved her singing, though. I didn't know she could sing before.
Was
I
that
saw
really
this
her
movie.
Singing?
Was that her singing?
That was her, for, that was her singing.
I was trivia. Okay.
Yeah, that was her singing. And I love her kind of voice. It reminds me of Zoe Deschanel, but I loved it. I thought it was good.
Now, do you say Zoe? Do you call her
Zoe Deschanel?
Oh, okay, well done. He got Zoe in there. We heard Zoe when we first heard it, so it's fine. Let me ask you this real quick. If she, did you know this? She's naturally a blonde. Okay,
naturally,
and she's playing a redhead. And then the Gwen Stacy, Ron Howard's daughter, she's naturally a redhead, and she's playing a blonde. What the crap, dude? You mixed your blondes and
what
your gingers.
What are they doing in Hollywood?
They couldn't all of a sudden say, hey, by the way, Mary Jane is now a blonde. And,
I guess so.
What are they
still
doing in Hollywood right now, man?
It's just kind of funny.
I don't get it. Yeah. And J.K. Simmons.
He's the best. I'm sorry. Can I back up a second? He's favorite thing in this movie. He is my favorite thing. I love him.
I don't know that.
In this movie.
Yeah.
Also, wait, he's a ginger? What? Did you
say? No, I'm kidding. Oh. I had to do something. I don't even know what he is. He's fantastic is what he is.
I love him,
but,
dude.
But what's the setup with the desk and the buzzer system that makes the entire desk
rumble? Oh, my God.
What kind of... No wonder he's so stressed out. I think his secretary was trying to kill him.
Yeah. And also, did she not remind you of... what's her name? Oh, I can't think of her name all of a sudden.
Elizabeth Banks.
Yes, Elizabeth Banks, but she reminded me of what's
Parker
her name?
Posey.
Parker Posey. Yes.
Oh, very, very
100%.
I'm in Scott's brain.
The whole time, you're in my brain finishing my words. But I saw, it was the minute I saw her, I went, oh, what's Parker Posey doing in this? She was in the Superman movie. That's weird. And then I went, wait, that's not who? Wait. And then I had to go look it up. But she really pulled off a Parker Posey vibe.
What an unsung little moment. Like, you wonder if they even paid her. She's in the movie for like 5 seconds, and all she does is torture him.
Yeah, there's a couple of scenes where she comes and breaks up the fight between Emo Peter and Eddie Brock.
Eddie Brock.
And then she's just really, they don't give her anything to do, but she's, for the moment she's on there, she's pretty good. And J.K. Simmons never opens his mouth, and I don't like it. I like it every time. Open your mouth and say words, J.K. Simmons, and I'll like it. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Pressing like
2007. I was trying to recall what state we were in for film and camera. Did we have enough that we would have a kid walking around
a microsecond before all getting camera phones? Like, we weren't quite there, but we were almost there.
They came out that summer. The first iPhone / smartphone came out that summer, so it would have been almost same time. Like,
right.
Wow. Like, I had a camera in my phone going back years and years, right? But like, no one was using it to actually take useful pictures.
It's trash.
It was just almost there.
Yeah, when that girl held it up, I thought, oh, she's got a little purple phone and he's going to take her phone. And then I remembered, no, this is 2007. Someone still got film in that shit camera. I mean, there were digital cameras, but
she didn't have film in that shit camera. No. That's the point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
extra.
How many years old is this?
I like
then?
That she had some film in her pocket, but she was pretending to shoot.
Right. She's a little con artist, is what she is.
Absolutely. Look at this.
There's a guy who looks like he's going to need a camera in 5 minutes. I'm going to go act like this is a real working camera.
Yeah.
Get out of here, little grifter. Get out of here.
That scene sucked. But when he was back at the office and he was like barking orders at people and getting mad, that's great.
But like, I was just. Everything about that, the ratcheting up of the tension in J. Jonah Jameson's office with that desk rattling and buzzing. At first, I didn't even notice that the desk was shaking. But after she did it about 20 times, I was like, what the crap is going on here? So I want to give Sam Raimi props for the fact that I didn't even realize that's what was going on.
Well, it's literally a prop and also a ridiculous one, but somehow it was kind of funny. I don't know how.
It felt very Raimi. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like, let's make the whole thing shake. Oh, let's make it like a comic book where, you know, you'd see like motion lines around the whole desk if the buzzer goes off.
Yeah. That was interesting.
And I love the scene where Spider-Man is in the, oh my gosh, by the way, this under New York is this labyrinth of huge pipes and everything. But anyway, there was the scene where it was humongous when Spider-Man was plopping open the water and trying to drown the Sandman. Man, when it was every time those rivets would pop, and then it would
zoom in on Thomas Hayden Church.
I was like, "Oh, that is Sam Raimi."
Oh yeah,
that is Sam Raimi. So
but
much.
But that's
Sam
not
Raimi.
That's not fair. You shouldn't do. You don't get to have a different movie style for a few seconds.
What that felt like to me was Sam Raimi going, "Oh, let me be myself just for a minute." Like, I don't want to be.
I mean, the whole thing with the super microscopic close up of how Sandman's atoms are turning into sand.
Crashing.
3 minutes of such unnecessary, but this is very Sam Raimi. Yeah. Right. It is like, okay, we get it. You really didn't need to explain that he's turning into sand.
You're absolutely right. That was longer than I remember. It wasn't a smoke break. It's like the police all hit retirement on their way. And they had to be replaced with other police.
That's a good way of putting it. It's one of my favorite bits of trivia here is that Topher Grace left that 70s show to do this and left it for good. Like, that was the end of it, because I think he thought he was about to go hardcore into a movie career, and he's done all right. Like, he's had some interesting stuff, but I don't know. I'm torn on him. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
In most things that I see him in. In particular, there was that short film a couple years ago that was part of the weird animation thing on Netflix, what was that called? Love, Death, Sex, Money, Basketballs, whatever it was.
I know what he's talking about, what was that?
In their fridge or something, there was a whole society that grew out of mold or something, and he played live action in it, but the world that was growing in their fridge was like, all animated. What was that called?
Not Love, Death, and Robots. He did do a thing for Love, Death, and Robots.
That's the one I'm thinking of. I really like that short with him.
For a second there, I thought you were talking about Osmosis Jones, but okay.
Not in that, is he? Is he in that?
No, that's so old.
I love Osmosis. Like, dude, that's a cool movie.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with Osmosis Jones. I like that movie.
Maybe Scott. Now, I'll tell you what happened to Topher Grace.
Yeah.
He was trying to occupy a space already occupied by Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, I know. And others. When they first appear on screen, I'm like, whoa, they are two different people.
Right. So, I mean, that's on his, and you know, Topher Grace, I love him. I love everything he's done. But Tobey Maguire can make you believe he just had an idea just by looking at him. He's like, oh my God, Tobey Maguire just had
favorite Topher Grace role is as Topher Grace in the Ocean series, where he can't understand the basics of poker. And Brad Pitt is trying to explain to him. It's like celebrities learning how to play poker for movie roles.
Right. That's a good one. Isn't he David Duke in the Black Klansman movie? Okay.
Yeah.
I knew I was thinking of something like that. I haven't seen that yet, but I heard something
about
it.
Oh, it's excellent. Yeah.
My favorite thing is weird. He's in a movie in 2004 called In Good Company, and it's a rom-com.
Yes.
It's got Dennis Quaid in it,
good.
And some lady and him. And what's great about it is it's not...
Woody Allen, right?
No, I don't think so.
Or am I thinking of a different one? The tennis one, I think, was
Yeah, this
Woody
is
Allen,
Paul Weitz, whoever Paul Weitz is. Anyway, Scarlett Johansson's in it, Dennis Quaid, and Topher Grace. And what's crazy about it is every other rom-com, you can predict everything happening at any given time. It's like, oh, I know how this is going to end. I know who's going to end up with who. Like, that's part of the reason people like rom-coms. It's very predictable. This thing goes places and ends in a way that is 100% not your typical rom-com. It's almost shocking how they end it. I really like In Good Company.
I remember that movie, and I agree. It was very good.
Ty Burrell's in that, too. Mm. He's good.
Well, yeah, I don't know why I confuse Match Point with In Good Company. They're not no overlapping cast, but for whatever reason they came out within a year of each other, and I think of one being the rom-com that the other one
is. You think that's weird. This freaking what's his name, James Franco, was simultaneously filming Pineapple Express. That's how old this is. That's so weird. Those don't feel
and
connected.
I think he was still high when he was on set for Spider-Man.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't eating. It wasn't cotton candy. He was eating his own navel lint.
That's a good joke, Scott. Yeah, I wanted to really give you credit for that Twitter post.
Thanks. Bet. I like to do that. I like to do a Twitter post. That's my workshopping, and then I bring it on the show and then do the joke again, and see how it lands. Seems like it did all right.
It's good.
Venom, by the way, is never referred to as Venom. Sandman is only called Sandman once. That's during a newscast sequence where near the film's climax. And then the new Goblin is never called New Goblin. The closest this ever comes to it is when Peter calls him Goblin Jr. It's a little bit odd.
Goblin Jr. Goblin, Goblin, Goblin.
It is a little odd, though, right? Most of your movies like this will have multiple references to the names of things, but Venom never gets called Venom.
Funny. He wouldn't even say Spider-Man.
Huh. Yeah.
And they wouldn't even say Spider-Man either, like Tobey Maguire at the very beginning. You know me, I'm your friendly neighborhood. Well, you know. Well, I'm like, we gotta say the name.
Yeah, but later, all those kids were yelling, Spider-Man! It's
Spider-Man.
I do like the fan service of Venom using the Spider-Man font from the comic book in the web above New York.
Right. That was kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
I would never lay there. I couldn't lay on a giant web in this universe because remember in the Raimi universe, that stuff's coming out of his body. Okay.
And it's sticky.
Yeah.
That's very right. Sticky. That's a good point.
It's not like he just did it from his cool material that's coming out of his science shooters. This is coming out of his wrists because he's gross. And now him and his girlfriend are laying in it going, oh, what a beautiful night. Yeah. We're laying in my schmoo here. That's disgusting.
They should have had Kirsten Dunst sit up and her hair was still all stuck to the webbing.
That didn't make any sense to me because I was trying to remember. I'm like, I thought it was always sticky. Isn't that the thing? Because that's not sticky at all.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing?
I mean, if you think too hard about it, it gets worse and worse.
That's
but
not
it's
my
just,
science.
He just, it's just gross. It's gross. It shouldn't be coming out of his arms in the first place. What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh, I hate that. Anyway.
You hate it? Do you also hate Wolverine's bone claws? Do you hate those too?
No, those are cool.
They did those in the comic. I wasn't a fan of them.
Oh, I know.
Because they did the blades so thin in the early, the early drawings. Like, you can't fit bone in there. There's not like a, like wrapping metal around bone for the Weapon X project. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of liked it from here's primordial looking Wolverine and now he's cool and sleek. Like, I kind of like that, but Brian's right. It's like, where did those bones, where are you hiding those bones? Where are you keeping that stuff? I don't like that. I do have a gross moment, but it's none of the things we've talked about. Does anyone have a guess?
Oh, it was gotta be Peter Parker's whole apartment. That whole thing is just gross.
It's pretty gross, but that's
top to bottom.
Definitely not it, but you're right. Ursula is actually, a tall, cute Russian chick. Yeah, her nut cookies.
Nut cookies, go make me some nut cookies.
Go make me some nut cookies.
That was just
terrible.
She was way too accommodating.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
I loved it. I loved
it. She was such a great character in Spider-Man 2, I thought. Like, you know, she's kind of like, she turns him around and kind of helps him when he's down in this one, she's just over fawning.
I couldn't figure it out because the only time she truly got excited is when she was trying to get him and Mary Jane together.
Right.
And I'm
Mary
like,
Jane's on the phone. I guess she doesn't have make an accent. For some reason, she doesn't have an accent.
Her father has the accent.
She has a slight. She has a slight one because the actress is from there, and you could hear her kind of hiding it. But I have a thing. I don't know if I've ever said this. I have a thing for tall Russian ladies.
Well, do I have an email? Then I have an email for you. Hold on a second.
Right?
I do. There's something about a tall.
Do I have a long series of emails for you?
A tall Russian, or even a Russian looking lady like Yvonne Stravinsky or whatever her name is. Stravosky. Right. She's, oof, man.
Just like a little ski at the end of the name, don't you?
A little ski. Yeah. A little ski at the end. I like that. All right. Well, here's our gross moment. It was for me when having bits of Thomas Hayden Church in your mouth. And I say this because when he would wrestle around with you and fight your Spider-Man would get all thrown on the ground and then take his hood off and he's got like sand in his mouth. And I'm looking, dude, you had Thomas Hayden Church in your mouth. Gross.
A dirty Hayden Church right in your mouth.
Yeah.
Gross.
You don't want that. I mean,
you don't want that.
I do like him, though, man. He was.
As long as we're talking about that, yeah. I didn't like the costuming of Sandman because it was such a throwback to the comics, which is fine, but everything else was modernized. Yet they were like, he stepped right out of the comics from,
No problem. You mean with the gray stripe or green stripe sweater? I have no problem with that.
The sweater I was kind of okay with, but those pants, no one's ever wore those pants were custom made.
Well,
I don't know where he got
those
pants.
He just got out of jail and he crawled back into
jail. No one has those in any drawer ever.
Why would you ever be in man form? Wouldn't you just always be in like a big sand form?
I mean, he's wearing like Ellie Mae pants. He's got like a, he's got like a rope for a belt. I mean,
they are very 1920s. I just get out of prison looking.
Yeah, from the 20s.
Yeah. You're not wrong, but it's fine. It's weird that you would imprint on that outfit though. And then that would just be your standard now. Like, why wouldn't you, I don't know. Maybe the comic explains it, but. I to be honest, I don't know that I've ever read a comic, Spider-Man or otherwise, that had Sandman in it. I don't think.
I have. I've read some. Yeah.
And I knew.
And the character's always mad looking. Everybody in the Spider-Man universe is mad looking usually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all pissed.
And Sandman, like the Osborns, had the weird Steve Ditko drawn hair that were like horizontal brown stripes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. You're right. Also, yeah. Thomas Hayden Church's mouth is a fun fact. Is like 4.5 inches. It's 4.5 inches lower than anyone else's. You notice that?
Right.
It's just way down there. It's so far down. I mean, I'm obviously
usually when I hear somebody start with "this is a fact," I don't believe anything.
Yeah, you should. You should not believe me because it's not true. It's not true at all. But
that's why my greetings always have the phrase "true story" in them because it's a key. It unlocks your cynicism.
Dude is 60 now. Looks great still.
Thomas Hayden Church.
And by great, I mean he still just looks like Thomas Hayden Church. Just kind of a weird faced, weird looking dude. But just in a cool way. I just like that guy. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
I would watch more things.
I love him in Wings.
Yeah. I can't stand that the movie Sideways is 15 years old. Yeah. That just blows my mind.
Well, you guys know, I don't know if you noticed
it's got
this.
Sandman and Rhino in the two.
That's what I was thinking. I had not put that connective tissue together until it was just said.
That's before weird. Too long, though, we can look at any movie and we're going to be able to say, oh, look, there's Black Widow with Daredevil and so-and-so.
No, don't say that.
Yeah. She was almost in this. She had tried to be, what's her name?
Gwen Stacy.
Gwen Stacy. That's who I was trying to say.
Huh. I want to be Gwen Stacy.
So you almost had Black Widow in your early Spider-Man, which would have been a little bit weird. I guess it wouldn't have been that different than Captain America being Johnny Torch or whatever his name was. Not Johnny Torch.
Johnny Storm. Cool piece of trivia.
I'm going with it.
Flamey Flamerson.
Yeah. Flamey Flamerson.
Cool piece of trivia.
Johnny Torch.
Sideways also has Virginia Madsen. Virginia Madsen was in the Spider-Man TV series.
Oh, all right.
Oh, was she really?
Yeah, weird. She was Silver Sable.
I never saw.
Oh, probably doing the voice, not in the old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, too old. That'd be too old. Yeah. I've been watching. So, quick note here: the Disney Plus service there, they got the 1980-81 Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends series on there.
Yeah,
it is. Shit, it's terrible, but in the best way. It's really fun to watch. Frank Welker, who does does the voice of Fred on Scooby-Doo, is in this, and he plays Iceman, and he is the same voice. It's Fred.
Yeah.
It's really
weird.
Hey,
Spider-Man, what do you say we go down and stop Doc Ock?
Yeah, once in a while he'll yell, and you'll hear a little bit of Megatron coming out of there. Right. But it's just shit, you guys. You have to watch. If you have some time and you want to have something in the background, you just want to just lament how bad cartoons were in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Whew, that thing is a stinker, but in a good way. It's really good. Cheesy. Great GIF material. I've been making GIFs like a wild man. Great stuff in there. All right. What else? I wrote this down. Hold on. We did talk about that. I wrote this. I wrote, started out okay, but got worse as it went on. Is that fair to say, you think?
100% accurate. Okay. Yes. It's the second act is so bad, you're thinking, all right, well, at least the third act's going to be a lot better, and it just gets worse.
Yeah. It's really compounding because the first act is okay. It's like
it's okay.
It's it's a little, like we said, you know, a little fast and furious with things like, oh, now he's Sandman because he fell into this mysterious pit and we put some scientists there to make it seem legit. But it's okay, mm-hmm. I guess now we have Sandman. Like, there's some of that, but at the very least, it felt like everything's getting set up nicely. The symbiote's here, cool. We don't know how that's going to go, but it's here.
It really was before we got spoiled by the MCU's ability to create three-dimensional characters, because Eddie Brock is a two-dimensional character. Mary Jane Watson, for what she does in this film, is kind of two-dimensional. Mm-hmm. Everybody is kind of two-dimensional in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe because of the running time and how many characters were needed.
I think so.
I guess you had no choice.
Look at how long... I mean, the running time of Avengers Endgame isn't a whole lot longer than this. But I don't feel like anyone really gets short shrift.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing. You go look at Infinity War or Endgame or
Civil War is another great one.
In fact, Civil War is my favorite example of it.
Characters got to have like three movies separately before they jumped into this.
You're right. So, I mean, you're right. But all of those movies, they never skipped. They never didn't do the hard work. Even Iron Man 1, one of the things I love about it is they could have just done the origin stuff quickly and gotten right to, hey, I'm flying and shooting stuff. They didn't. They spent real time in there. They spent real character development. They really put big scars on Tony that would affect the rest of his life. Like, it's an unsung part of that movie. It's one of the reasons I think that stuff kicked off. It's because they were willing to spend time with it. Yeah, Favreau did it. Mm-hmm. And then Favreau screwed it up with two, but whatever. He's not infallible. But you know what I mean?
I feel like the only disappointment for me with two is the way they handled Mandarin. You know, yeah, I mean,
I kind of liked Mandarin, but my bigger problem. Well, see, I'm not a giant Spider-Man comic reader, so I don't have the back thing. Yeah, or Iron Man. Sorry, I don't have the back thing on the Mandarin. I just kind of liked how my expectations were subverted a little bit, and I don't really have any real allegiance or loyalty to that character from a comic standpoint. So I'm probably not the right guy to ask on that guy.
Well, and I tell you, Sam Rockwell's in it. Sam Rockwell elevates everything. So I can't say that that movie's bad because Sam Rockwell's in it.
Yeah, but the bigger, when he got drunk and was like dancing around his house in the suit.
Yeah, Tony Stark got drunk. Tony Stark was an alcoholic in the comics. Yeah, come on,
right? An alcoholic. He had to quit for a while.
Alcoholic.
But was he always drinking with the suit on? Was that a thing? We just dance around in the suit.
Always freaking with the suit on.
Famous covers is him halfway, like wearing the suit without the helmet and staring in the mirror drunk.
I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know. Maybe I need to see it again. I remember just being so disappointed with it.
I thought two was fine.
I think three is the one. If you're going to hate an Iron Man movie, hate three. Yeah.
See, I don't know why, but I liked three.
The whole army of Iron Man suits, right?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, that's a good part. But then you've got, Tony goes and befriends a kid, and the kid helps him realize who he is, and
He was already looking for Spider-Man. Pepper Potts gets
an Iron Man outfit, and
you're not wrong, but I kind of like that director though. But also, I will acknowledge that sometimes his stuff is just shit.
I think we need to watch Iron Man 3 at some point for this, or Iron Man 2. Maybe we watch them both and separate them for about a month or something, and just see if they hold up or if they're as bad as we remember, or as good as we remember.
Yeah, we could do all three if you want. I mean, we've never done that, and that's now, you know, it's a bit of a historical relic, that thing, because it kicked off so much stuff.
I would assume all three of them are on Disney Plus, right?
Oh yeah, they're all up there.
I would make that assumption.
Mm-hmm. I saw them there. Anyway,
I saw them there.
I've got an ass load of clip. Oh, one final thing. I like Old Lady May in my Spider-Man. I prefer Old Lady May. Yeah, doesn't matter who plays her.
Don't we?
Doesn't matter who plays her. I just want Old Lady May. I like her old.
No. Sorry. Young, hot Marissa Tomei, Aunt May is all I want.
Boo.
Agreed.
Forever and ever and ever.
Boo. Yeah, but that's so not consistent with the comics.
She's not Grandma May. She's Aunt May.
Yeah, but in the comics, she's always been like Grandma Aunt May. She's old, right?
Whatever. Whatever. To the current generation, Marissa Tomei is old.
But isn't she? wouldn't you call her? She's not even his aunt, direct aunt. Isn't she great aunt and great uncle, Ben? No.
No.
I thought that was the deal. They were great aunts and great uncles.
No, they're okay.
I just want to point out, Rosemary Harris is still alive. She's about 92, at this point.
She's great.
She was in her late 70s making these movies.
Mm-hmm.
She may have gotten some of that goblin serum. She's going to
She's a great actress.
I'll tell you, the actor who played Bernard. if you go,
you're really stuck on Houseman, aren't you?
Oh my God, yes, Houseman. So if you look at the actor who plays Houseman, plays the character Houseman, if you look at his IMDb, he didn't start making any films until he was 70.
Oh my gosh, really?
On ya.
Oh, like, man. And that might be the IMDb photo of.
Winning.
No, I'm sorry. Wow. There are too many to count in this list. Like, it's a massive list of people credited in this movie.
Is there any Tales from the Crypt? Because I think we found our new crypt keeper.
Yeah. Let's see. He is.
He didn't really start getting. Well, at least not on the IMDb. He doesn't really is listed any Hollywood films until he's in his 70s.
If you really want to dig into those IMDb photos for Spider-Man 3, friends, go to that page and search for an actor named Logan Fry. He's an uncredited person who appears in the city in the movie. His name is Logan Fry.
Oh my Lord.
It's one of the worst IMDb photos I've ever seen. It's almost a prank. It's almost like someone else has control of this page and they made a prank out of it.
Here we go. He is so low on the list. You can't even find him. Here we go.
He's in that is because he's mostly a dude with makeup on all the time. That's why he's doing that.
Is he Bane in this photo?
I mean, look, he was in I Am Legend. He was one of the zombie vampire guys. Like, this job is to be wear makeup and look scary. So that's probably why it's like that.
Short film Slaughterhouse Laughter House. Which Slaughterhouse and Laughter House, same word, just add a S to the beginning.
Ooh.
Wes Craven Studio 360 Scary Short Film Fest.
All right.
Use it as my IMDb photo. I'm sorry.
He's in a movie called Roboob, the Farting Robot Monster.
Roboob.
Oh, coming soon to Film Sack near you.
Yeah. It's a short film in 2018. It's actually pretty recent, I guess.
Erika Eleniak and Coolio and
no, but it sounds like that sort of thing. He's in a movie called Pinheads, which is some bowling TV show TV show I've never heard of.
I am regretting calling your attention to this person. Can we move on?
What, you don't want to go through his entire career one thing at a time?
By the way, also in both Roboob and Pinheads is Rance Martin.
Oh, fantastic. Mm. Finally, we're there.
Yeah. A little Rance Martin.
See, we got it. All right. Let's do clips. I have some clips.
Rance Martin. I have one more note I just want to bring up. Sony really likes to lean hard into that PlayStation 3 font.
They really do.
Yeah, did you all get your PlayStation? Banners
for Spider-Man Day, for Key to the City Day, or whatever they call it. And just like
did you guys get your PS3s with your free Spider-Man?
Yeah, I did.
Sure.
3 Absolutely. Movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it came. Yeah. It didn't come with 3. It came with 2.
No, wait. My PSP came with a Spider-Man movie on UMD. I don't know which one, but it totally came with.
No, I know it was 2 because it came out in 2005. This movie didn't come out till 2007, so you would have gotten 2, I think, or 1 even.
Okay.
I can't remember what they put in there, but the PlayStation 5 launched in 2005. What are you saying okay like that? That was just like literally the date they said. Came out in 2005. All right.
PSP came out with Spider-Man 2, was bundled with the first 1 million units sold.
What about PS3? Because that was PSP, right?
That was the PSP. Did the PS3 come with the Spider-Man?
I think so. I think you could get it may have been a bundle.
According to what I read in the trivia, which I will not argue with Scott about it, it said Spider-Man 3. The sales on the DVD were down because it was given free.
Maybe they still did with another build of the console. It's just that this is 2 years after.
I want another 100% moment.
Yeah. Well, this is 2 years prior to that. That's all I'm saying is the PlayStation was out 2 years before this movie existed, so it had to have been later if they did it all. All right. Here's some clips. This just says she was nervous. So I don't remember what happened here.
Tell me again. Was I really good? I was so nervous. My knees were shaking.
Your knees were fine.
The applause wasn't very loud.
Yeah, not very loud.
Mm. It was in the front row. It was.
She's good. Randy's right though. She's good with this material, even though it's not great material.
She's just being tortured as an actor. Yeah. This whole movie. Yeah.
It's like not really fair to her. She's
so bad. Good in Fargo, the TV show.
Oh man, she was amazing in Fargo. I forgot for a hot minute that she was in that season two, and she's with
Jesse Plemons. Yeah,
her and Jesse Plemons. That was when we first got to see Fat Damon as big and fat.
Right, that's right. And the two of them, I think, are either dating or
no, they're married.
And wife now.
Yeah, married? They're married, mm-hmm. and she is just a sight. Oh, it's such a good season, you guys. I'm so good.
Yeah.
All right, here's some total mumbo jumbo.
Donnie, we got a little fluctuation on one.
There's a change in the silicon mass.
Yeah, it's probably a bird. It'll fly away when we fire it up.
Initiating demolecularization.
Let's just get right in.
When we fire it up.
Right, it's probably
hey, anybody
bird.
Else? Anybody else know why we're doing this at 8 o'clock at night, by the way?
And what are we doing exactly? Shooting lasers in the sand? Whatever.
Hey, what about those cameras we're supposed to have on literally anything we might want to see?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I don't know. Let's go. Yeah. Could just go.
Hand wavy. That right. whole thing.
That's all it. Right. That hand's my face. Stop it.
I wrote, I cannot stand movie doctors, and here's one.
How is he?
He's got to be okay. But there's been some memory impairment, particularly short-term memory. Right now, he can't remember the accident or anything that happened to him recently.
Is it permanent?
It could be. Only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
Oh, yeah. That is wrong. It's like short-term memory. Yes, we get it. We know it's short-term.
Yeah.
He's, like, he's suffered some damage to his convenient lobe.
Yeah.
And, yeah, his convenient lobe. Love that.
His convenience, the zone in your brain that covers all right. convenience, has been damaged.
He's conveniently forgotten everything that has happened bad Members in the last is, 2 months.
And, yeah, so weird.
And then you say, well, when will he be better?
Only time will tell.
Okay.
And only time will tell, but most likely when it's convenient for the movie. That's Let's right. move on.
Yeah.
And when he took the goblin serum and got his memory back, I was just like, whoa, wait a minute. He needs to go sell that stuff. Mm-hmm. There's so many people on this planet that would benefit from a little goblin serum.
That's yeah. right. Will you retain your doctor's license?
Only time will tell.
All right, great.
Step right up, try the goblin serum. It'll help you get your memory back and give you super strength.
Step right up, step right up. All right, here's a something about somebody scooting. Oh, this is a nurse.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to ask you guys to scoot, okay?
Okay. All right.
That was the worst. How pissed would you be that they said, can we go back and see him? Sure. He walks to the door. Hey, how's it going? Fine, fine. Nurse comes in. You got to get out.
Yeah.
I was like, scoot. Wow.
Scoot.
All scoot. Right.
Give me the horse thing.
Give me the horse thing.
All right. That's just a thing. She actually says, don't
what
give.
What is that from?
She actually says, don't thing. Give me the horse thing. But
yeah,
I
get back on the horse.
Oh,
was giving her
right,
bad
right,
yeah.
right.
But their their voices crossed over and it annoyed me. So I cut out the don't part and just left.
Give me the horse thing.
Give me the horse thing.
Give me the horse
Give
thing.
Give me the horse thing.
Tranquilizer.
All right, this guy yells really loud.
Shut it down at the generator.
All right, jeez.
Oh, it's the crane operator guy.
Yeah, he hated so the crane. It. What kind of crane malfunctions in that manner?
It was like a water weenie. It was just out right. of control.
Yeah. And
One
then
of those.
Exactly. He's got a beam up where they're not even building anything else, and he's swinging the beam around, and it is literally a building beam that is knocking other beams completely out of their foundation. And I'm like, what is that particular new beam?
Even if it had happened, it would have gone.
It's a vibranium new beam.
Yeah, right. It would have gone shunk and you'd been done. And they would have evacuated exactly. and you wouldn't have worried about it. But man, that thing was not stopping for anything.
I'm the angriest beam.
Yeah.
It's a radioactive. That crane it's was bitten by a radioactive spider.
Yeah. Pretty much. His beam man.
Yeah. And he is just, he's holding that radio up and just going.
Shut it down at the generator.
Jeez, what the
Shut
frick?
Shut it down at the generator door.
It's like a death metal guy. Right. All right, here's Eddie Brock. He appears.
And I'm dating your daughter.
Okay, talking to Stacy. Yeah, oh, we even talk about That'll Do Pig actor yeah. who played.
I think that was the best example of how this movie had to get as much information passed as possible in the shortest amount of time. So yeah. It's like, oh, we're this beam is swinging around. We got the. Got Gwen Stacy's dad here. Let's just go ahead and say that he's dating his daughter.
Yeah, okay. Let's get it all in before she falls.
How convenient that both her dad and her boyfriend just show up to the place where she's going to fall.
Yeah. Here's new guy.
I'm the new guy. New guy.
New guy. New guy.
New guy.
Yeah. And now a series of J.K. Simmons quotes. All right. Because I couldn't help it. Here's one.
What?
All right. That's a good one. Here's another one.
Time to take your pill. Not that one. Not that one. Drink plenty of water.
I mean, that shouldn't be funny. It's dumb and lame, but it's funny.
But it's hilarious.
Yeah. There's a sound in there with the buzz that sounds like a dump truck unloading.
Yeah.
Way too much noise.
And he has a lot of pills.
At Allstate, we help you with your desks that vibrate for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
What was his name? Cave Johnson. Still my favorite thing he ever did. Portal 2.
I'm so glad he's back as J. Jonah Jameson, the MCU.
Yes. He was in that game too, right? In the was it amazing or the what was the Spider-Man game called?
Oh, right.
He's a shock jock. Or he had quit the paper and was now doing his own shock radio show or conservative radio.
Rush
show.
Limbaugh.
Yeah. It's very good.
J. Jonah Limbaugh. Yeah.
It's very funny. All right, here's I don't know what this is.
I did? What's that smell?
Oh, it's just another one. Know. Oh, there's more. Here's another one.
He likes my shirt.
All right, he likes my shirt. That's a good one. There's another one.
Anybody care about what I want?
I do.
Shut up.
Shut up. So good.
Here's another one.
Get out.
Get out's a good one.
Get out.
All right. That's a great movie, too.
Get out.
All right. Let's see. Here's another one.
He's a fake. He's full of stick 'em.
Full of stick 'em.
Full of stick 'em.
Full of stick 'em.
I love that.
Well, it's because he's it's the
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. He's full of stick 'em.
Full of stick 'em.
Maybe he's full of steak-ums.
Yeah, maybe.
That too. Steak-ums are expensive.
Do they still make steak-ums?
Oh yeah, you can get
steak-ums. At least they're more expensive. I used to put steak-ums in the same price range as like ramen. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get some steak-ums and some ramen. And I went to had a little nostalgia going on. I'm like, I'm gonna eat some of that. Probably cancer-causing steak-ums. I'm going to go get them, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're expensive.
It's like, they're expensive.
Well, I haven't had them since, like, high school.
You could have real steak.
I'd just like to read to you the answer to the question online. What is steak-um made out of? And the answer goes, steak-um is made from chopped and formed emulsified meat product comprising beef trimmings left over after an animal is slaughtered and all of the primary cuts. And I'm just like, no, this doesn't need to exist, guys.
No, it's bad.
It does not. Coincidentally, Jason Statham is made from the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's so good in so many films.
Jason Statham.
Love Jason Statham. He's so good. All right, here is that's another J. Jonah.
Spider-Man with his hand in a cookie jar.
Okay, all right.
Spider-Man.
All right, now we got Stan Lee, or as we like to call him, Stand Lee. Here you go.
You know, I guess one person can make a difference.
All right.
Ham-fisted.
Ham-fisted. Excelsior.
Whatever else is going on, we stand.
All right, here's your cameo, your Bruce cameo with your pecker thing. Here you go.
Ah, here we are. Table for two. Pecker.
Parker.
That is what I said. Pecker.
Such a dumb joke.
It really is. Joke.
Then why was I laughing?
I don't know. Why were you laughing?
Maybe I was uncomfortable.
Yeah. How, by the way, so this is mostly for Ribbit, but how annoying is this reveal? Okay. Here you go.
This is the man who killed your husband.
I remember seeing this and just going, really?
It's like making the Joker the guy who kills Bruce Wayne's parents.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, that's what I thought of. I thought of that again. It was like, yep, it's just you're just Tim Burton Jr. over here. What are you doing? Lame. All right, here's I wrote, this is something else.
This is something else.
Oh, it's because that's what he says. He says, this is something else.
This is something else.
I love what your notes about the sound clip are the sound clip.
Yeah.
The exact words.
Now, this is something Ibbitt said to his date on a prom night thing. I got this file from your mom, so I don't know how old this is or what to expect from it. Or I don't know the context, so I don't want anyone to jump to any conclusions, okay? But apparently, this is a quote, Brian Ibbitt talking to his date on prom night, circa 1986. Here you go.
Don't let any of that get on you.
Oh, geez. Jeez. Wow. That was, I don't know. You can tell us later, off air. You don't have to tell us now.
Jeez.
Here's a great falling yell. Here's someone yelling and falling. I can't remember who. It may have been Peter Parker. Oh, no. This is Thomas Hayden Church or whatever his name is. Here it is. Which is pretty good.
I like that he's far away from the camera and then the camera goes and catches back up with him.
Yeah.
Did he forget he was made of sand and they could just dissipate?
That's my point. That's why I hate those. You got to be strict with your rules. What are your rules? Yeah. I can turn to sand anytime I want. Then stick to your effing rules.
I forgot I need to hold together.
Yeah. Also, the most important rule of Sandman is that if you get him in water, he's done. That kills Sandman. It's not just that, like, he's, you know, he just hangs around in the water. He can't reform.
Yeah.
So, like, when they dropped him in a puddle, I figured that was the end of Sandman.
Yeah.
Why how did he come back? And he comes back out of water. He's shown. Well,
he's still all that sand.
Yeah. He wants it more.
he's just all that wet sand that's not able to form.
Yeah, sand is still sand. Yeah.
They should have licensed the Metallica song for him. That's what they should have done. Hush, little baby, don't make it
until never, never land.
Don't just say it. I want to hear Scott's version.
Wait, go. Right? you don't want to hear it. All right. Here's something about rent.
Give me rent. You'll get your rent when you fix this damn door.
Jeez, Peter.
Wow. He's good. He's good boy.
He's good boy.
He's going through a bad thing right now.
We've seen that guy in a thousand things. He's in puberty. He's in tons of stuff.
The guy is always going to play a Russian. I don't know if he's really Russian, but he's always going to play a Russian.
He's in a million things. He just recognized him immediately. All right, give me the rent.
Give me rent.
Oh, give me rent. All right, here's the butter. The butter.
Oh, the butter.
Okay. I don't remember that. Oh, because the butter when you're making eggs.
They're making the butter.
The butter wasn't doing anything, by the way. It was just barely melting.
What your butter?
I'm sorry. The only song we can afford to license for this is "The Twist" by Chubby Checker.
They did not have a very big budget for the music because they had several. You know,
they had almost James Brown for the walking down the street emo Peter montage. Yeah.
They didn't have
I
an
like
ending.
To pretend that it was Houseman's music CD that was in there.
This is all that Houseman listens to.
Bernard's.
While he's working on bodies in the basement.
Oh, that poor guy.
Identifying wounds.
He lived another. The guy looked like he was on death's door then, but he died in 2011. Years later. All right, here's something about a heart.
First, we attack his heart.
Oh, yeah, we had to get at least one. What's his name? Willem Dafoe in there, yeah. We had to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
First, we attack his heart.
Or as Nicole would say, William Dafoe. She will say William.
William. Right.
Old William. All right, here's something knows me very well.
She knows me very well.
Oh, I hate how he says this. It's, it's James Franco. Just listen to it again.
She knows me very well.
Something about it just rubs me wrong. And what's the opposite of ASMR? Because that's what that is for me.
Right.
Ugh. All right. This is also a gross moment. It didn't count, but I'll acknowledge it as being gross.
That taste.
Ugh. Shut up.
Yeah, I didn't care for that.
Strawberries. Dirty turd. Didn't like that.
Mary
at all.
Jean Watson tastes like strawberries.
Oh gosh.
And fake vampire blood.
That's right. Isn't that true, Bernard?
Right. Bernard. Bernard!
Here's,
we need more eggs!
Something with your eye. Something with a dirty more eye. Eggs. I don't remember what this is.
I'm going to put some dirt in your eye.
Oh.
Oh, because it's
Sandman. Got it. Okay. I get it now.
You're going to get sleepy.
Yeah.
I'm going to put sand in your eyes.
We're back to J. Jonah.
You're fired!
All right. There's that. And then you got your great... Oh, I can just use this for something. I don't know what. It's a great little transition sound. It's good.
Yeah.
Very all right. Dramatic. Here's this thing. Old guy's creepy.
I've seen things in this house I've never spoken of.
What are you trying to tell me?
The night your father died, I cleaned his wound.
Okay. All right.
Continue.
All right.
Yeah. He's dead. Why would you clean his wound?
Yeah. What's the problem there? You did a bad job, and is that why he died? Like, what happened? Still had a dirty wound? All right. Here's the what I think this is a boner joke, but you guys can help me confirm. All right. So here goes.
Ooh, my spider sense is tingling. If you know what I'm talking about.
No, I did not. I was like, what?
What is
Thank
it
you for the clarification?
It's a shitty use of
yes.
It's exactly. Barely a euphemism. It's dumb.
I've got a boner, Peter.
I'm talking about my penis.
If you know what I mean.
There's a symbiote on it.
Here's a Venom making sounds. And by the way, Venom, true Venom doesn't show up until like what do we have? Like a
Tom Hardy.
20 That's true. But here's the sound they decided he makes. All right. That's great.
Yeah, you know, why did he get the meth teeth so early?
Yeah. I mean, showing him with the bad teeth, which he can barely keep in his mouth, by the way. Like, as Topher Grace is reading his lines, he's like, hold on, let me get this adjusted here.
His spider senses are tingling.
That black goo is sitting around in his room for like what seems like days before we finally come back to it, and it attaches himself to it. Like, he comes back with him on his bike, and then just kind of hangs out in his room. I don't know, doing what? Listening to the police scanner all day long, I guess. And
hey, sometimes you need a vacation from your vacation, man.
I always seem to get Spider-Man amnesia convenience. When it comes to that scooter he has, I always forget he has until I see him. Then I kind of chuckle every time.
The previous film starts with him delivering pizzas, and that scooter is like supernatural.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable what that scooter can do.
It's the spider scooter. Actually, did he have vehicles in the comics ever?
Unstable molecules. Not an actual spider mobile. Like, toys have come out that are like, you know, the spider buggy and the spider cycle and stuff like that. But no.
Yeah. The problem was you're versing your, he was a high school student forever. And so he didn't have a lot of disposable. Yeah. He didn't have a place to park it. Couldn't park it. Plus he didn't have any income really. I mean, other than his poor
photo
job.
Gig.
So, I mean, not until Iron Man came along and started just throwing gifts at him.
Yeah, that's true.
Inappropriate, Iron Man.
A little inappropriate. Okay, here's a terrible reporter. Let's never forget how terrible she is. Here she is.
It's hard to believe what's happening. The brutality of it. I don't know how we can take any more.
Okay, you're not being...
But we won't cut away.
Yeah, we won't cut away because this is what we do.
I cannot figure out who she sounds just like, but...
Here, I'll give you another. Here's another tiny taste of it.
Right.
There.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, she sounds just like.
I love when people do a little hitch in their voice. Record it and keep it. All right.
Play that. Go back and forth between that and the J.K. Simmons what?
Okay, wait. I got to find it. Hold on a second. This is way up here. I did too many of these. Okay, here he is. Here's the what. Okay. Wait, no, that's not the what. Where's the what? Shit, this should be easier.
What?
Okay, there it is. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
What?
Okay, wait. Oh, shit. Okay, that's Q and period. Okay, here we go.
What? 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 What?
Worth it.
Great conversation.
Worth it. Worth it. Well done, Nibba. That was a good call. All right. This is a great grunt noise from Monster Sandman as he was about to get killed for the last time. All right, there you go. That's it.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. What? Okay, so that was a pig, right? In real life, that was a pig. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, probably.
Yeah. By the way, you think it was a pig? Hold on. I don't know. I think it's just modulated guy's voice, just some dude with a modulated thing.
I think it might be a giraffe.
It just might be Thomas Hayden Church.
It could be.
His normal voice.
He's farting in the
that's right, break room.
Just ripping it
break
off.
Room recording.
A really large pig that has sleep apnea.
Yeah, there you go. My wife says I used to snore like that. All right, now time for what I do. This is what I say when I get an unsolicited call on my phone, okay? Scammer calls or stuff like that. This is what I say.
Don't ever call again.
There you go. That's what I do. has got a good voice. I like it.
Don't ever call again.
There's kind of a...
Yeah, not everybody would appreciate it, but I like that.
I'm with you.
Voice.
I like it.
Just like Zoo Deschanel. Really, really good.
Yeah, just like Zoo.
Zoo Deschanel.
Yeah.
I think it's Zouay.
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 Yeah, Zouay Deschanel. Wait, puts the douche in... Okay. All right, well, that's the end of that. That was great stuff. Now let's dive into this. This is the Film Sack Checklist. Too many villains in the kitchen? Check. Retconning who killed Uncle Ben? Check. And Freaks and Geeks? Check. That's more of a James Franco reference, yeah. Mm-hmm. Star Trek connections. There were a few. These came from Daryl. There were 10 connections in this one, but there are only three that are in the top spots. We'll use those. Kirsten Dunst played Mary Jane Watson in this. In The Next Generation, she played the role of Hedril in the 7th season episode, Dark Page. She was 11 years old. And I don't remember how big of a role it was. It seemed like she had magic or she could do wacky stuff or something. I can't remember what the deal was.
It was a meaningful role.
Yeah, I agree. James Cromwell, he was Captain Stacy. He played Zefram Cochrane in First Contact, the film. He was also on Enterprise as a cameo as Cochrane in an episode called Broken Bow. He also made other appearances in TNG and DS9 as unrelated characters. And then finally, Stacey. Greg Daniel, he played Precinct Detective in Voyager. He played Mobar. He was a Tuvok impersonator in the 6th season episode Love, Fast, and Prosper. Or sorry, Live, Fast, and Prosper. Don't love fast. That's bad. Yeah.
She won't appreciate it.
Yes. Soundtrack gate, I'll get a G for good enough. It was the first time there was a parting of ways between Danny Elfman and the director Sam Raimi. Yeah. And so this was somebody else picking up the slack. And I think it's fine. It's just not notable, but it's fine. It's okay. Mm. Still, it retains, you know, the theme and some of the stuff that Elfman would do. And then, you know, did his own thing. And it's fine. G for good.
Yeah, Danny Elfman got a nice big credit up front. But then all of the new scoring was done by Christopher Young.
Yeah, it was fine. Well done, Christopher Young. You did it. All right. Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Let's start, with Randy.
Spider-Man 3. The first one had a bad guy. The second one had two bad guys. Let's go third movie. Your best friend is a bad guy. The new photo boy at work is a bad guy. There's a bad guy who just broke out of prison. A bad guy falls from space right over there. For the middle third of the film, you're the bad guy. Character limit.
That's a pretty good, that's a double meaning.
I like
there.
That one.
Yeah.
Good.
Character limit. You hit the character limit, character but also you're talking limit. About limiting your characters.
Very good character limit.
I don't know if you meant to do it. That, but that was brilliant just one way or the other. All right, now Dunaway.
Now Dunaway, do it. Spider-Man 3, like Harry Osborn's Facebook relationship profile status. It's complicated. or like Miss Sandman says to Mr. Sandman, you and Proof sitting in prison. KISSING, prison rape. Right. Okay, wow. I had that last part.
Wow. You and Truth sitting in prison. That was a really weird line.
Yeah, you and Proof sitting in prison. Yeah. Do it.
I mean, you're supposed to, you are supposed to, what's the word?
Dedicate your life?
No, what do you call reform? Prison? Prison is not reform.
Reform?
It's another word.
Training?
Rehabilitate's
close. We're close.
Yeah. Recidivist?
No, that's doing it again. It's when you have been
reformed.
You come out and you've made it. You did it, and that means you were
reparoled.
You know? Shit. I don't
repercussions.
Know. No more
reparations.
Reparations. There you go.
Recall. All right.
It's complicated.
We'll just leave it at that. All right, finally, Brian Ibbett.
Spider-Man 3. That one time Sam Raimi got infected with black space goo and went bad.
Nice. Well done. Also, what's Sam Raimi doing these days? Isn't he on tap to do...
Probably another Evil Dead. I'm guessing.
Yeah, and he's still doing his series?
Evil Dead? There was rumor of a big movie coming. Let me see what this is. Let's see if it may just still be rumored. It was. Oh, it's rumored. No, it's official now. He's going to direct The Last of Us adaptation.
That's right.
That's what it was.
And I want more Sam Raimi on Chef Show with Jon Favreau, please. That episode of Chef Show is my favorite thing. Sam Raimi is not who you think he is. He's a totally chill nerd who's very, inquisitive. It was awesome.
I also love how he works with his brothers. His brother, one of his brothers co-wrote this. The other brother is on screen. The guy that was trying to, during the scene where J. Jonah Jameson's going nuts and taking his pills or trying to decide what pill to take. He was over there pointing at the whiteboard and talking. And I don't know. It's cool. Three brothers doing Raimi's work brothers. Like that. That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Rumored, or has it been confirmed that he's doing Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness?
That was the one I was thinking of. That was the big one because there was some big shifty thing, but that's not listed anywhere other than rumor. So who knows?
Right, exactly. Mangold out and potentially him in, I think.
He's producing the new Grudge remake. Don't Breathe 2. These are just production credits. World War 3. I don't know what that is. The King Killer Chronicle. Those books are cool. So he's doing that. Huh. I don't know. He's got shit to do.
All right.
He took some time off. He after Spider-Man 3, he did Drag Me to Hell 2 years later, but then nothing until 2013. Yeah, he's just kind of passing, you know, just sort of pausing. It's okay. Take a breather, mm-hmm. Sam. Mm-hmm. It's fine. You're 60 now. Do what you got to do. All right. Moving on. Where are we now? Oh, yeah. Emails. No, alternate titles. Hey, I've done this before. The alternate titles are like this. That Spendies show, because it's an expensive movie, see? It's a big budget, see? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I just couldn't think of anything else. And then the other one was, And the Sand Played On. like the band, you know, but with sand.
Yeah.
All right, we got an email here to filmsack@gmail.com. These come in every week, and we love them. Please keep sending them, filmsack@gmail.com. Mick in Madrid says the following. Hello there, you sackers. I'll get straight to the point.
Mick.
Why have you fine gentlemen omitted Salem's Lot? 400 plus episodes and no sign? Like Pink Floyd said, one of these days. On another note, anytime you can remember the name or can't remember the name of a particular film, actor, or editor, don't hesitate to call me. I'll save you the trouble by shouting out whatever inanimate object to your quality show on. I don't know what that means. There sounds like there's a translation error there.
Well, he's going to shout at whatever he's listening to our show on. He usually shouts the answers at that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Whether it's a phone or iPod or whatever.
Well, Mick, we like that. And also, Salem's Lot would be awesome, but I don't think it's streaming.
Is it I've been watching or the 2004? For
years. Mm.
Yeah.
How's now, it? if you're looking for Salem's Lot, we did do Thinner at least. That's kind of like in the same.
Yeah, okay. We have the Dead Zone on tap, don't we?
Yeah.
We've
done like 7 Stephen King things. We're doing pretty good.
I'm looking forward to it, though. I'm looking for Salem's Lot.
Salem's Lot is a looks like hot shit.
Right. So are we talking about the 2004? Are we talking about the much older?
I assume the old one, right? The 79 one? Well, there was a film in 79, and that had Saruman in it, I think.
Saruman.
And then Salem's Lot 2004 was...
Old Sutherland.
Oh, that dude. Yeah, that's Rob Lowe and Donald Sutherland. Lowe. Weird. Yeah.
Really? I don't even remember that one at all.
2004. It's rentable. 56 on Rotten Tomatoes. Ooh. No, 50. I'm sorry. That's not good.
It's right in the middle.
Oh, they're making this. And he has a mullet. That's awesome. All right. Anyway, why not? I really like that book. I've read it a few times. One of my favorite Stephen King books. It's very good.
One of the few that I have not read.
It's a very early book, but just some raw, dark vampire business. It's very good.
2004 was a TV miniseries.
Oh, fantastic. That's why it's 50%. No one likes those.
Right. So I guess the other one would be the movie we would.
Yeah. What happened to those? I guess we still have them once in a while. You had the AMC things that were like the...
Netflix pretty much is, you know, just dropping a friggin'... 10 episodes or something.
But they're not, but those are now full series now, right? Like miniseries, like a 4-episode arc. No one does those anymore. Mm-hmm. Who does those? No one does those. What am I thinking of recently that was on like...
Because they're always planning on, well, we could turn this into a series if it's popular enough.
What was the AMC thing that was all award-winning and it had... What am I thinking of? About the murder. The football player. What's wrong with my brain?
What's wrong with your brain?
The guy that killed people in California.
Yeah, what's wrong with your brain?
And then killed him, his wife.
O.J. Simpson?
O.J. Simpson.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
oh my gosh. I couldn't even put it together. I'm like, what?
What you're talking about?
Yeah, that. That thing was super good, and it was a miniseries.
Yeah, they have another one coming with the Menendez brothers, and then another one with the Bill Clinton whole impeachment thing, Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, the whole the BJ unit deal.
The woman from Booksmart is playing Monica Lewinsky.
Which
not the woman, really. Not the woman from Booksmart who was in Unbelievable, but the other one.
Oh, the other one. Okay, that fits better. I was gonna say that doesn't seem like the right casting, but the other girl do great in there. I think she looks like her. All right, another reminder to watch Unbelievable. It's a great show.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, I love
it. And Booksmart.
It's also very good. And also Justified. She was good in that too. Let's just do all the things these people are
in. Watch everything. Yeah. Everybody's good in everything. Everything so watch
everything. Everything is great. Yep. We live in a blessed time, everybody. There's a lot of content. Enjoy it.
That's right.
All right.
Did we have another email? Was that it?
No, that was our only email. That was it. Well, I mean, we have others. I get probably dozens a week, but I just pick them. You know, just
did
pick
you get
them.
One from Ben?
It was Ben. Oh, who's Ben? We're supposed to get something from Ben?
From Ben from Fort Raid. He said he sent in an email.
Oh, did he? Oh, you know what? I'll find it real fast. Oh, here it is. I'll read it. I'm glad you said that. It's just more recent, and I haven't checked the recent ones. All right, here we go. Hi, FilmSack. So I'm in the mind that Cobb did make his way back home based on some video or theory I saw online a couple of years ago. He's talking about the
Inception
totem thing. Right. One of the big rules that Cobb lays down is to not let anyone else feel or use your totem. Since we know the top he spins was Mal's, what is his? If you pay very close attention to his left hand throughout the movie, anytime he is in a dream, he has his wedding ring on. Whenever he is in the real world, oh, he put teal world, which sounds like fun too, but anyway. when he's in the real world, no ring. You need to look very closely to see his hand once they've landed in the U.S., but his hand looks ring-free in the remainder of the film. Love the show, guys, and keep up the great work. Ben Bonhoeffer. Oh, Ben.
I did question why he was using Mal's totem, because so that makes sense.
She's not using it anymore.
She doesn't need it. Yeah. That's not going to stop your fall. It's not going to cushion your landing. When you jump.
Right, exactly.
But I didn't know this theory. That's cool, Ben. Thank you for that. Thanks for the – I didn't know he sent us one. That's awesome.
He brought it up in during Fort Raid a couple nights ago, and we'll look for it. And
yeah, right, Dunaway. What was that? What did you say? Did you say Fort? Oh, you just said Fort Raid in like
was
a
that,
gross voice.
Was that Thomas Hayden Church?
Yeah, it's like a pig with sleep apnea.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, we're gonna tell you that next week it's not a normal film. We have an out of towner happening. Brian Nibbitt's going to Chicago to do some raw trivia, man. It's gonna be awesome. We can't wait to hear all the stories he brings back with him. But because of that,
it'll be good stories.
Yep, we're not doing a regular film, but we are and have already done so. So it's all ready for you guys next week. We watched an episode of The Twilight Zone, Eye of the Beholder, which you should watch along with us. And we'll put that episode out so you can plug it in. Fire up your Netflix, cue it up, and then listen as we do and watch with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good stuff. We haven't done one of those in a while. We always love doing these, and usually it's when someone is out of town. So, Brian, have a safe trip to wherever you're going. Chicago.
And wish me luck. Wish us luck. We got to win. We want to win this one.
Yeah. Lots of deep dish lasagna pizza. Get that.
There. Lasagna pizza.
That's basically what it is, right?
Yeah. Lasagna.
They call it pizza, but come on. It's lasagna with crust.
I'm gonna allow them to call it pizza if they want to.
Well done. That's going to do it for us. Big thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. That is where we will let you know if a movie ever gets vetoed that we've already previously announced. That's at FilmSack. You can also find the rest of us over at FilmSack.com. All our Twitter accounts are there. You can send us those emails at FilmSack@gmail.com and leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Give me the horse thing.
We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
She knows me very well. Ugh.